This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. And all of a sudden, he's an expert. He's in our papers 2 days ago telling us who we have to take.
Welcome back to the First Team. I'm Joe DeLeon, and with me is my good friend and NFL draft analyst Ryan Roberts. Today, we're doing another scouting report episode. We're almost done with these. We're rounding around the corner. We're going to be ready for dropping our position rankings soon, some real position rankings. We're not talking about dropping a top 10 after watching 10 guys. No, we're going to give you some good detailed position rankings for summer scouting in the 2025 NFL Draft. Today, we've got Harold Perkins, LSU, and we've got Abdul Carter from Penn State. Two ambiguous football players. I have no idea what position they were playing last year. We don't totally know what position they're playing this year, but I guess that they're linebacker hybrid types. We're going to talk about that today. What do you already look like you're straining.
We've had this conversation in the past, and I think that it's a very interesting conversation. We don't have to go super in depth on it, but it's like the towing of the line between being a hybrid and being a tweener. Right, where you're like, hybrid is good. That means you can do a bunch of different things. Tweener means you don't have a spot, right? So, like, that's the towing of the line. And these guys that we're talking about today, literally, they are towing that line. It's not a negative because that means that they could be towing it in the good direction of just being able to do a bunch of different things for a defense. But then there's the other side of, like, well, are they going to turn into Isaiah Simmons, right? Where, like, that's just the towing of the line that I'm talking about.
R.I.P. Isaiah Simmons. I hold him close to the heart. He was one of the first guys that I ever scouted, and I am still depressed that he did not
freak show, man. He was a freak show. 6'4", 230 something. They ran a 4.38 or whatever it was. Like, it didn't make any sense.
Speaking of a freak show, Harold Perkins, 6'1", 220, flies all over the field. The LSU defensive player was playing overhang last year. Very out of position.
Speaking of Isaiah Simmons.
Freshman year was just a run you off the edge athlete, kind of like what Anthony Hill Jr. did this year for Texas. Hopefully, Blake Baker, who comes in as the new LSU DC, can figure him out and we can get actual glimpses of what this kid could be like in the NFL. Ryan, what do you got for us on background on Harold Perkins?
Well, first of all, you said the incorrect height and weight. We actually have a verified measurable Joseph.
God forbid.
verified Harold Perkins this spring, 6'1" and 215 pounds was verified for Harold Perkins. So he's smaller, Joe, which is going to go into our conversation later. But this young man, everyone knew about him coming out. He was out of Cypress, Texas, went to Cy Park, which is a very, very, very good program in the state of Texas. He was considered the boring recruiting rankings here. Ready? On Three, 247 Sports, ESPN all had him ranked as a 5-star. The highest was ESPN, ranking him as number 4 overall player in the 2022 recruiting class. On Three had him at number 12. 247 Sports had him at number 5. So top 12 player by 3 different platforms. Rivals was a little bit lower. They saw him as a high 4-star, but he was number 34 overall player in the class. Freshman All-American, 7.5 sacks, big time production as a freshman. this year. Production was about the same, a couple less sacks though overall, but obviously, like you said, Joe, very interesting player because he moved from basically just being a rush end to a Sam linebacker overhang this past year. So very interesting player to say the least.
So when you watch him, you can already tell at the 2025 NFL Combine, he's going to be a guy that tests really well, jumps 40 time short area if he tests at all. We know that that is not a guarantee anymore.
Well, the great thing is that there was actually, I forgot to mention this in the little intro there, verified measurable on him. Apparently, he ran 4.38 for scouts this spring. So,
damn.
Yes. So he can run.
You and I had a back and forth on this, on his time. Not so much a disagreement, but I remember you and I talked about it, and we were saying low 4.4s. 4.38, I wasn't ready to get that spicy. I was going to say like a 4.45. That is tremendous. It makes a lot of sense. He flies all over the field no matter where he was put. So when he was playing this weird overhang role, he was able to cover a lot of space really quickly. When he was playing that rush end and when they were blitzing him and he was coming off the edge, he was way too quick for some guys to keep up with. Like, he made some SEC tackles look silly because he was just blowing past them. He's not going to be a full-time edge rusher. He's just not big enough or long enough to do that, but it is nice that he has that in his wheelhouse. Going to be playing Will Backer this upcoming year. I think his skill set fits with him being a Will Backer because he does a really nice job of navigating things around him and understanding and reading things in front of him. I will say, Ryan, to me, why I really like Harold Perkins and why I was pleasantly surprised about him, for the way that we've talked about his role and his misusage, one would assume that we would be sitting here saying, this guy has bad instincts because he hasn't been put in a situation to learn to play a particular position in football. I think despite being screwed by defensive coordinators, Matt House specifically, he has shown just a really, really natural ability to make plays. Like, you can tell that no matter what they were asking him to do, he was able to make plays. So getting sacks, getting tackles for loss, the interception that he has against Missouri is pretty ridiculous, and that is at a spot that he is never going to be asked to play really in the NFL. So I think that that's why I have optimism that he will eventually work out as a Will Backer in the NFL, albeit linebackers are not super highly sought after these days. But I see this natural playmaker that you give him a chance to play it this year, and he's probably going to shine.
I mean, he's a special athlete, right? Like, there's no doubt about it. I mean, even though he's a smaller guy, and again, 6'1⅛", which he's verified at 215 pounds, 4.38 is crazy. Like, that is a crazy, crazy time. It pops on film. I mean, Joe, you don't even have to know who Harold Perkins is. You'll just keep writing number 4 on your sheet, right? On your notebook. That's kind of just how that works, right? And then there's just gonna be a bunch of pluses next to him. He is the great debate, right? The great debate, because yes. Freshman year, a lot of great sack production, speed rusher off the edge. You're correct. 6'1⅛, 215 pounds. He's not going to be able to play that full time. It's just not. Maybe on some sub and some certain situations, blitzing off the edge and sub. Like, he can do those types of things at times. But then this past year, Matt House is an idiot, bro. Like, he's an idiot. What do you want me to say? Like, we're putting your best athlete in a position that is not sustainable or doesn't matter as much on the NFL level anymore. It just doesn't. You hurt him. You actually hurt him. You wasted a year of developments for Harold Perkins. You absolutely did that. Will linebacker is where he's going to have to play on the next level, because that's the only spot with his size profile that he's going to be able to play full time. And this is going to be a very interesting comparison. Do you remember? Well, maybe you don't remember. Well, you watched him because you're a Notre Dame fan. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah is almost the same size as Harold Perkins. And what did he play when he was at Notre Dame? He was a rover, which is that overhang position. And when he was a projection, now he's one of the best Will linebackers in the NFL, right? He's a Pro Bowl level linebacker this past year for the Cleveland Browns. So he figured it out, and he figured it out because he's explosive, physical, and he has great instincts. I think that Harold Perkins has two of those for sure. He's incredibly explosive, can run for days, and he has good instincts, just spatial instincts. My biggest question of him is, physically, I think he has some pop in his pads, but like there was a couple times where I thought he just kind of got devoured against bigger blockers, right? Which is going to happen at times, but that's the only thing is I just want to see if that power profile can take a step forward, the ability to engage and disengage at the point of attack, get off blocks, because that's really the only hanging point I have other than him not playing the position enough at this point, because he has all the natural instincts and athleticism to be very good at it. It's just the physicality is one thing that Jock had coming out of Notre Dame. Does Harold Perkins have it? That's the question that I'm looking forward to seeing if it's answered in 2024.
So that's where the big negative, I think, comes into play here with me, where, again, I was expecting to speak poorly on his instincts because of what he was asked to do and not being in a put in a position to succeed. Still found ways to succeed despite this. You hit the nail on the head that he doesn't really have the physicality that you would be seeking with a Will linebacker. Albeit he knows how to navigate things, Will backers are going to be caught in the muck a lot. You know, they're going to be dealing with blockers. They're going to be dealing with guys scraping off of double teams and coming down on them. And as you described it, he at times struggles to disengage from blocks when guys get on him. Mm-hmm. Now, he's fast enough to evade them, but I just get worried. If he's reading things are flowing and he gets picked up off of that double team scrape off, like what ends up happening? Is he going to get completely removed from a play? So that's where my wariness comes into account, where he needs to be more exposed in learning how to get off these blocks. And I don't think that he's not strong enough. I just think he doesn't know how to be physical in the box and really pop guys and get off of them, because he did at least show some ability to do that when he was playing as an edge rusher.
I think that is just, it's about the projection points, because when you're playing linebacker position, you don't have to be a guy that is the greatest shedder of all time as far as, you know, making contact, locking out, peeking, and getting off a block. Like, you don't have to be that guy. There's a lot of good linebackers in the NFL currently and in the past that are slippers, like they're block slippers. They're guys that understand how to attack leverage to one shoulder or the other, and that's how they get to their spots. That with that, though, and I think the one thing we need to, again, just kind of circle back to is that, will he be able to consistently slip blocks when he is just used to that discipline of playing an inside linebacker position, something that he has never played before? Because if he figures it out, Joe, I mean, let's be honest, of the guys that I've watched so far, and I'm right around 100 players now that I've evaluated so far for the 2020.
I'm almost caught up to you. You're only at 100?
Joe, you did this last time and you were like 30 behind me. What? Why are you doing this right now? Go ahead. How many are you?
I'm at 60.
Okay, so you're 40 behind now and you were like 30 last time. Anyway.
I'm catching up.
He is, of the 100 players right around that I have watched so far, he's one of the guys that has rare athleticism, right? He's one of the guys that you look at and say, if that guy hits his ceiling, he could be special. He's not there yet because of, again, mismanagement LSU had of him the last couple years, but he certainly has that upside if he does hit as a football player and he becomes just more consistent playing a position that is ultimately going to matter for him on the next level.
So I've got a mid to late first on him. Is that what you got?
I have. Yeah, I didn't have my sheet up for some reason. I have a late one, early two on him. So I have on my scale, I have a 7-9, which basically means I'd be willing to take him in the first round, but he's right on the fringe of being a pure first round grades. But regardless, I will tell you this, of the, again, 100 guys that I've watched so far, Harold Perkins ranks in that list as a top 15 player in this class for me overall. Mm. So if we're talking about in a vacuum, he's a top 15 player as of today for me, because I'm banking on that athletic upside. It is all there. It is just now about harnessing it and finding it structurally in a position that makes sense on the next level.
Yeah, it's very funny this year with the amount of guys that you watch that maybe don't really have a confident first-round grade, but still end up being projected top 20 picks. There's going to be a lot of those. BetOnline remains your top spot for all of your live betting action and contests. NFL, college football, UFC, NHL are all in full swing. BetOnline is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions with both desktop and mobile access at any time. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for 50% off your first deposit. That is a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, where the game starts. Here's another guy.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
It's a little bit confusing. Abdul Carter, Penn State, 6'3", 250, unless you've got the verified measurables, which I'm sure that you
do. I do not. So no verifieds on him. No verifieds on him.
Yep. He was playing off-ball linebacker, and then I think his freshman year, he was playing a little bit more of a rush role, and now he's going back to defensive end. That's what the current trajectory is for this guy.
So if I remember correctly, when he was a freshman, they had a couple good linebackers at that point. And they had the Brooks kid, and they had somebody else. I can't remember who the guy was 2 years ago that they had as well. But I believe he was the Sam linebacker in their 4-3 alignment as a freshman. So which means, obviously, Sam backer, there's a lot of things that you can do as far as he's an off-ball linebacker by trade, but you can put him up on the line of scrimmage and some under fronts and like do that type of stuff, right? So he was a little bit of a versatile piece as a freshman, which he really did well in. I mean, he was only the second player ever. And I know I'll go into the high school background as well, Joe, but like he was the only second Penn State freshman ever to have 10 plus tackles for loss and 6 plus sacks in his first season in Happy Valley as a true freshman. Wow. So pretty good little tidbit there as far as his production. His production dipped this past year because they just kind of... He was still an attack style player. Yeah, it was a little bit frustrating, to be honest with you. He is, and just kind of recounting to his background, LaSalle College, Philadelphia, PA guy. He's a Philly guy, man, which means he's better than New York, obviously, right? So consensus 4-star, number 129 overall player by On3, LaSalle College prep. Everybody knows the Philadelphia area. A lot of guys that they just kind of grow up Penn State guys. So like a lot of those Philadelphia, PA guys, they go up to Happy Valley and play. But you're correct. He is a very – man, he's a very – he toes the line of – that I talked about before. Athletically, I'm all in, dude. Like, I am all in on Abdul Carter. He is, like you said, 6'3", 249 pounds, and he's all of it, dude. Like, he is a physically dense football player. Closing speed is outrageous. His short area stuff, like when he is a interior blitzer, when they used him from the second level this past year for Penn State, the closing speed he has to get from second level to quarterback is outrageous, dude. Like I was watching the Ole Miss game where I felt so bad for Jackson Dart in that bowl game because it was like every play it was Abdul Carter, number 11. He was there. He was there. He was there. And I'm very curious to see, because rare player coming from depth and blitzing, obviously with the move now to full-time edge is the route they're going. There's going to be a lot of parallels that people are going to paint this preseason for a lot of good reason, actually, to Micah Parsons. One, Penn State linebacker. Two, number 11. Three, could he be a dominant rush guy? I mean, like there's going to be a lot of those parallels that are created. I would just like to say, Joe, without telling you my grade, because I know we'll wait until the end on that, I'm in on this kid athletically, though, man. Like, I'm so in. There is just insane upside with an Abdul Carter. It is just strictly, I got to see what they do with him at edge, man. Like, I don't know what to expect with him on edge because he's a great interior blitzer, but you haven't really seen him come off the edge a ton. It is a little bit of a wild card right now, but dang, these athletic gifts are special.
Yeah, the athleticism definitely pops. And the other thing, too, that's like really freaky is the magnitude of the hits that he's able to deliver. Like, there are some hits that he really pops some guys in some of these games, and you're just watching going, holy hell, that was a brutal shot that he gave.
Yeah,
you nailed it, the description. I'm not gonna retell what you said there. I just legitimately don't know what he's playing in the NFL, because there's this seesawing back and forth usage for him that's happening at Penn State. I wish they would have just picked a position. Like, I didn't think he was a bad linebacker. Why are they moving him back to defensive end? Is it because they don't think they have enough defensive ends? I don't know if he's really built to be, or not that he's not built to be a defensive end. I just don't know if that's like his most successful position. When he showed some really good stuff at off-ball linebacker, I think he could definitely play that Micah Parsons role. Maybe not to the defensive player of the year candidate level that Micah Parsons did, but he certainly could. Where he's off ball and then he's also coming off and rushing. He needs to be doing both. He shouldn't be doing one or the other.
Yeah. It's so interesting because I look at his profile, though, and I say, if I'm going to project a guy to do tweener stuff or hybrid stuff, I want guys that have that type of athleticism where I could project to either spot. And I don't think he has that, man. Like, this is, again, we're talking about a 6'3", 249-pound kid that is well-built, and I think you illustrated something perfectly. He comes to balance and he strikes, man. When he gets downhill and he gets ahead of steam, it is, you know, it's momentum times raw power all combined into one, size and a move. Like, he's basically like the juggernauts from X-Men when he gets going, dude. It's just like, and there's no wall that's going to stop him when he gets momentum moving. I understand the concern. I will say this, though. I would be a lot more certain on Abdul Carter probably 10 years ago when 3-4 alignments and playing 3-4 base was a lot more specific.
Yeah.
I think he would be a tremendous 3-4 outside linebacker.
Yes. Yes.
The problem is that, again, we're in the world of 3-4 base, but you play base less than 50% of the time. So that's where that absolute becomes a little bit less apparent with a guy like him. But I am going to bet on it in the preseason. This is one that I could get burned on, to be honest, just kind of looking at my grade, because I, full transparency, I'm betting on the athlete here, man. I am betting on the athlete that whether it is as an edge or it is as an off-ball linebacker, whatever the heck he ends up playing on the next level, I think he has rare athleticism for a guy his size. Again, man, we don't see 6'3", 250 guys that move like this very often. It is a very unique skill set. So I have a high grade on him. I'm taking a gamble on him, full transparency. If I'm wrong, I will say that I was wrong for X, Y, and Z reason and move along. But dang, I think this kid is a special athlete at the position. Absolutely special.
So why I'm annoyed, though, about this position change is I feel like we're not going to get to see what his full capability is as an edge rusher this upcoming year. He's certainly athletic enough to succeed, and he's physical enough, he's long enough.
Yep.
But there requires a certain amount of time to learn the nuance of the position. Like, we're watching now James Pierce Jr. and Patrick Payton, Mykel Williams. These guys, who you watch them on film, have hand usage skills, but are still clearly developing them.
Yeah.
I just think it takes like multiple 3 to 4 seasons for guys to like really learn how to play the position. I'm going to be really annoyed if we come to this year and we come back and we watch the tape and it's just Abdul Carter trying to be an athlete every single rep because he was underprepared. And he's also got a new defensive coordinator. Tom Allen, I think, is the guy who's taken over. Who's
Tom Allen, Indiana head coach.
The previous Indiana head coach is taking over.
Yep.
I don't know what to expect from him. So we could probably get, there's a chance that we could just get Abdul Carter being told, hey man, just go at that tackle. Just go at him, man. Just go figure out what you got to go do, because they don't have the time to teach him how to use his hands and develop a pass rush moveset. I hope he has some moves by the end of the year, but I just don't know if that's something that gets completely figured out in one season, and it's just going to muddle the projection. Normally, when we're talking about guys moving, it's moving backward. So when we talked about Harold Perkins, he moved from rush end to overhang, and now he's playing Will Backer because he was really athletic, and then he's getting moved to a position that more fits his style. You know,
I would phrase it a little differently. Guys usually move in. I wouldn't say back. Usually linebackers move.
They move away from the line. They move away from the line of scrimmage is what I'm trying to say. They move away from the line of scrimmage. You'll never have a line. When can we think of the last time a linebacker moved to the line of scrimmage to play as a defensive end?
Micah Parsons.
No, but he was doing both things at Penn State. No, that's not a way. He was doing both things at Penn State. Their film was so different. I remember watching Micah Parsons. He was one of the few guys I watched that cycle.
Who was the linebacker that I liked that went to Tulsa?
Zaven Collins? Yeah, that worked Collins. Really well.
Well, I didn't say it worked well. You asked me the question, though, and I'm answering the question, Joe. That's how conversation works. Somebody asks a question, the other person answers it, and
Penn
then we
State's
going to
screw this poor kid up. And then,
oh, no, they are. You know why? You know why I know they're going to screw him up, which is why I'm already second-guessing my evaluation here a little bit.
Is that why they're were smirking
talking? Yes, because I was starting to think of – I was going to make a joke, and I was going to say something to the vein of – well, at least Penn State consistently develops edges really well, which is, oh my gosh. I mean, let's work down this list a little bit. Yetur
Gross. That's probably the worst part.
Yetur Gross Matos. You remember Yetur Gross Matos?
I remember him.
Jason Oway. Do you remember Jason Oway? Do you remember Chop Robinson just this past year?
Athletes who don't know how to use their hands.
They're
that's what you just named.
The best Penn State edge rusher that's come out played linebacker at Penn State. Think about that, dude. That is just absurd to think about. You're making me second guess it. I'm still going to bet on the traits, but it's not a.
What's your grade?
I have a late first round grade on Abdul Carter. I like
him. I early second. Okay, we're on the same page. I thought you were about to say he was like a top 10 grade for you or something like that.
I do have a slightly higher grade on him than Harold Perkins, though, because I just think that Harold Perkins at 215, 6 foot slightly plus, is a very good athlete for that size, right? Great athlete for that size, we can even say.
Yeah.
But I do think that Abdul Carter, and we're talking about summer scouting and projection, I do think Abdul Carter is a rarer athlete at his size than what Harold Perkins is at his size, if that makes sense. So, yes, gambling on upside, flashes are insane, absurd, so much fun, as the kids say around these parts. But, man, it is a wild card. He is a wild card in this class without question.
We used to do these and we used to compare the two prospects. I'm glad that we stopped doing that, but I think in this conversation it actually applies, because I have Harold Perkins higher, because the way that I look at this, Ryan, is that yes, Abdul Carter is a rare athlete for his frame. Yes, if Abdul Carter hits, his impact on a snap-to-snap basis is going to be higher. Just from the basis of the position, his ceiling is higher than Harold Perkins. Just that's how it works.
Right.
But I think that because we're seeing Harold Perkins move into a role where there's going to be less overthink, and he's already a naturally good decision maker on the field, it makes more sense for him to eventually succeed. I just have to put Abdul Carter slightly... Sure, he is projecting into a safer situation than I can. He is projecting
counter,
to a picture. Wait, he's projecting to a picture that I can actually visually see. I don't know what the picture is of Abdul Carter. I don't.
Counter, though. Here's the counter. Because I agree with you in the sense that Harold Perkins, I think, is a higher floor player than Abdul Carter to his position switch. Like, I could see that one working out more seamlessly, okay? But here's the difference, Joe. If Abdul hits or if Harold hits, because they are both question marks at this point as far as how well they do hit at their certain spot. If Abdul hits at edge compared to Harold hitting at linebacker, which is a more valuable position, right? And that is kind of
what I just said. That was what I led in with. I agree with you. Yeah, we're agreeing to disagree.
Okay, great. Wait, are we disagreeing, though? You just said we agree.
Well, we're disagreeing because we've got one guy ranked over the other, right? Okay.
That's fine.
I have one guy ranked at a different spot than you do, but we're both agreeing that one position is more valuable than the other. Absolutely. I can't wait. And I'm glad that the timeline has been pretty clean. There hasn't been a lot of people are taking vacation. You guys are soft. A lot of people are taking vacation. There's not enough stupid people yet that have come and tried to ruin Abdul Carter. A lot of stupid people are ruining some of these prospects already. They're already saying some really dumbass stuff.
I have a first round grade on them. I'm not ruining anything. What are we talking about?
I didn't say you. I'm referring to, and you know what I'm talking about because we send these tweets to one another. All I'm saying is that there are a number of prospects right now. I'm not going to be specific. Yep. That there are some insanely ridiculous takes that are being put out there. Luckily, nobody has brought up Abdul Carter yet. I don't think anyone has.
It's interesting because he would be the guy that would create the most conversation, would he not?
That's what I'm getting at.
The most conversation. Yeah, you're right. I agree with you 100%. Meanwhile, we're nitpicking and trying to create a conversation over guys that are much easier, cleaner evals, which is just very interesting this time of year. Very interesting.
We always do this. I can't wait for the Abdul Carter conversation in March. That is going to be cancer. At Joe DeLeon, at Rising Draft, folks, thanks for tuning in. We're going to be back with more scouting reports. I think that the idea is running back. So we'll be doing that next. Hit the subscribe button. Leave a 5-star review. We'll talk to you later.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.